Welcome to the program. We're talking about things that Ray does and does not understand.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about much more coming up on our panel on the roundtable this morning.
If not understanding is, you know, a prerequisite, I'm in.
All right. Oh, gosh. Good to have you
That's
here.
That's how you got the gig.
Excellent.
You're perfect. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. It is a Tuesday morning, the 23rd of April, and it's a delight to have you all here. We're going to take a roll in just a moment. Alan Chartok.
Yo.
Present. Ray Graff.
Present.
And Selma Kaplan.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Selma.
They're
hey.
In the house. Welcome, Selma, to our proceedings, and hopefully you'll come back someday.
I predict she'll run out screaming by 20 after.
Can you see eyes rolling on the radio?
Oh, no, on the contrary. In every fun drive, we always hear Selma should have her own show. And so now she does.
The only way to stop that is to give her her own show.
I come back for the fun drive.
That's right. We say this is our show. This is the show. Welcome. We have a lot to talk about. A lot of interesting stories that are making news. Of course, first and foremost is the story out of Boston. The Boston suspect number two, if you are keeping score at home, has been charged and could face the death penalty. Later on in the program this morning, we are going to take your phone calls and ask you whether you believe whether he should face the death penalty. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. In fact, we'll talk about this and then we'll take your phone calls and we'll do that till the news breaks. So if you would like to get in early, that would probably be a really good time to call.
What's that number?
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Ask me again, Alan.
What is that number?
1-800-348-2551, and we will take your phone calls. The question is, do you believe that the suspect in the Boston Marathon bombings should face the death penalty?
The dental penalty.
The death penalty. We'd love to hear from you. My clip just broke. That's not good.
All right, it's off the rails. Let the record show it's 9:12 and the show is off the rails.
1-800-348-2551. All right, so much for my craft. All right. So here's what happened yesterday. The second suspect was charged in a brief but quite dramatic bedside scene. I was reading the transcript yesterday of the court proceedings. It was 7 pages long, rather short, very short. Basically, he is in the intensive care ward of Beth Israel Medical Center in Boston. Multiple gunshot wounds sustained during his capture last week, and FBI agents were there waiting for him as he awoke on Sunday morning. He made his admission, and after he woke up, they questioned him, invoking what is known as the public safety exception to the Miranda rule. In the course of questioning him about whether he knew of any other active plots or threats to public safety, he admitted that he had been involved in laying the bombs that killed 3 people at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. He said that he knew of no other plots and that he and his brother had acted alone, and he said he knew of no more bombs that had been detonated. At the legal hearing Monday, he shook his head in response to most questions. The brief bedside session began when the magistrate asked a doctor whether he was alert enough, and the judge told the doctor, "You can rouse him." The doctor asked, "How are you feeling?" And he nodded in the affirmative, and then the questioning went on, and then the Miranda rights were eventually read to him. So the question is, do you believe that the suspect should, Zakharov Sanayev, should face the death penalty? And we would love to hear from you. 1-800-348-2551.
Phones are ringing off. Some phones are ringing off the hook.
And we will get to those phone calls in just a moment.
One other thing, Joe, that I may mention, and that is that that Jay Carney from the White House, is that his name, Jay Carney, the spokesman from the White House, came out and said that he would be tried under federal law, that there had been a lot of convictions done that way.
And would not be placed in military detention.
I have to say that's exactly right.
Jay Carney said, "We will prosecute this terrorist through our civilian system of justice." He noted that it was illegal to try an American citizen in a military commission and that a number of high-profile terrorism cases had been handled in the civilian court system, including that of the would-be bomber who tried to bring down a passenger jet around Christmas 2009 with explosives in his underwear, known as the underwear bomber.
Right.
What do you think? How do you feel about the death penalty, Ray?
Me?
Yes.
Personally?
Yes.
You want my personal opinion?
Yes.
No comment. Alan?
That's right. See, Ray sees himself, and quite correctly, as a newsman, and he doesn't want to give you his opinion. I could guess what his opinion is, but...
What am I thinking right now?
You're thinking you'd like to give me the death penalty.
Nonsense. Wrong.
Right. So.
No, that was in the 7 o'clock hour, right? Yeah.
It's close.
Okay. And so did you ask Selma?
I was going to. I didn't hear from you yet.
Oh, you know, I'm opposed in principle to the death penalty, but I have to say... You know, when it comes to my children or other people, you know, if I once asked Governor Cuomo, he got mad at me for this. I mean, really mad at me. He said he was against it. This is the former Governor Cuomo. And I asked him on our Capital Connection show, and I said, "So what if it were Adolf Eichmann?" And he said, "Well, basically, that's a different story." So the real question is, here's a guy comes in, blows up people, takes their legs off, takes somebody's children away. You know, we all ask ourselves this question. If my wonderful children were attacked, how would I feel? I think that in the short run, you'd want to kill them. In the long run, is it good or not for the society? And basically, I have to say I'm philosophically opposed, if not always emotionally, to the death penalty. Does that sound right?
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, eventually, obviously, a decision has to be made, and I think that the philosophical and the emotional takes over. I mean, I consider myself a person who opposes the death penalty. I don't believe that you fight death with death, that you pay for your crimes in our judicial system.
So, but, also, Mario once said, there's something about putting a guy in a cell with nothing, and he hears nothing for the rest of his life except the sound of the toilet flushing.
And I certainly understand the arguments about the cost involved in that, and as you say, the emotional baggage, and I understand that completely. But if I had to make a decision of whether someone, you know, I wouldn't feel competent to make that decision.
And you know what? Nobody ever knows till they face it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And too many mistakes have been made over time. And,
right.
You know, and I'm not saying that in this case it would be a mistake made, but life in prison with bad food and when you're 19 years old, the future of looking toward those toilet flushes
of 80 years,
not a bad idea.
And also, you know, and I can't get out of my mind, you know, of thinking of most 19-year-olds. I don't know. It's a
sure.
You know, how much is this on the brother who had passed?
Sure.
And
in the end, though, people have to be held responsible.
Absolutely, 100%. Which is why I believe, you know, you seek the you put them away and I feel hopelessly not capable of making that decision when it comes to someone else's life.
What was the other guy in Oklahoma? Terry
McVeigh.
And Terry McAuliffe.
No, he was the head of the party head.
Terry McVeigh. Looking back on that, did we?
Timothy.
Yes, not Terry. It's not
Terry McAuliffe.
Terry Gross. Sorry.
What happened? Somebody wrote me and said, "What happened to her last night? We had a special on."
Yeah. Earth Day.
We had an Earth Day special, a sustainability
more important.
Special.
Much more important. Yep.
Yes. Terry Gross will get over it.
Is she even there ever?
You know, I don't know that she was on last night.
She will or she won't. Okay, so we want to hear from these people, don't we?
And we have a lot of people to hear from, so let's go to the phones. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1. Let us begin with Denise and Saugerties. Denise, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Delight to have you.
I'm adamantly opposed to the death penalty.
In this case or in general?
In this case and in general, and this is not just a philosophical perspective, because I've had members of my own family murdered, and it makes it hard, but I'd rather see life imprisonment. We've got Sirhan serving life in prison for, you know, assassinating Robert Kennedy.
And he regularly comes up for parole, and everybody has to write in saying, don't let him out. Even though, I mean, we always say life in prison, and then sometime we don't do life in prison.
For the most part, we do. Charlie Manson's not getting out.
No.
You know, and...
But in theory, he could, because every 10 years he comes up for parole or whatever, however many years.
Well, in theory, just about anything can happen. People can have an apotheosis and become Mother Teresa, but that doesn't usually
happen. Which is what happened to Selma, oddly enough.
you know, I mean, I think that Alan made a good point. You know, your emotional response to somebody when you say Eichmann or whatever, or Timothy McVeigh. But I don't believe that a civilized society, and I'm using that word in quotes, should do an eye for an eye, no matter what. We're better than that.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, because I think Israel does have a ban on the death penalty, but they did execute Eichmann.
Right.
They made
that's
well,
true.
They,
yeah. But I mean, you know, I support the Innocence Project, and I know there are people who have been executed who were not guilty. I don't think that's
the showstopper, Denise. That is the showstopper for me, which is the fact that so many people have been executed who were not guilty.
And even with the guilt, what do you do with an individual who at 19 is guilty of heinous crimes, and you hold them up to others sitting there in that cell with the flushing toilet, and point out, this is what happens, you know? Mm. And once they're dead, and then they're sort of buried and forgotten.
Well, that's true.
And I think that it's better as a sort of symbolic...
You know, that was my point about that was my point about the McVeigh thing. It really was.
Denise,
wonderful.
Thank you very much for the telephone call. Let's move on now to Josh in Averill Park. That opens up a phone for you, 1-800-348-2551. Josh, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Dwight.
I'm really excited. It's my first time calling in.
Oh, wow. We're excited, too. Cool. All right.
So polite.
Go ahead. It's it's Josh's first time calling, so we have to make it extra special he'll call back.
Yeah, so...
we'll grade you at the end. Go ahead.
My feelings on this are basically... I am philosophically opposed to the death penalty, but even if I wasn't opposed to the death penalty, I think that in this case, I truly believe that that kid was manipulated to a large extent by, at very least, his older brother and possibly other outside forces. And I think he's basically not an innocent kid, but he got wrapped up in something. He was impressionable, and it really was a little bit outside of him.
We all have some interesting questions here, if I may. What about if you're the mother of the 7-year-old? How are you feeling about that? In other words, too bad. His older brother, or as Officer Kropke said, social disease. But in the end, doesn't he have to take responsibility? He did it. He killed those people. That's terrible.
Yeah, but Alan.
Yeah. It's very terrible, absolutely. I mean, what happened in Boston was horrible, but I think, I really truly believe this kid was brainwashed to do these actions.
But go ahead, Selma.
No, I have a friend whose husband was killed in the World Trade Center bombing. He up at the windows of the world. And she has consistently said that she did not believe in an eye for an eye in that case, the widow.
And
I think a lot of people feel that way. You know, you can be philosophically opposed to the death penalty, and yes, you could lose somebody very important to you, and somehow your philosophical gut reaction basically holds precedence.
But Selma, when you say, a lot of people feel that way, you take a poll in America today, you're going to find everybody wants this guy dead. So it's not a matter of how many people want him or how many people
want him. Not everybody, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And also, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with, because I think a lot of people feel like Josh feels in the sense of a young kid and impressionable. And let us not lose sight of the fact that, you know, if he admits to the crimes and he's convicted of the crimes and he goes to jail for the rest of his life, he is still being punished for those crimes. Now, the punishment may not be death, but it's still indeed a punishment.
Not the way it was with the 8-year-old. He's dead.
Right.
Somebody's son is dead for all of us who have children.
But he's being punished for that crime.
What do you mean punished? I mean, is it concomitant? Is it are you being punished in the same way that I mean, I'm just playing the devil's advocate here, you understand, because I'm philosophically opposed to the death penalty. But is it proportional? You know, your child is dead. And he gets to spend $80,000 a year eating, as Selma says, bad food, although I'm not so sure.
Josh, what do you think?
It's 80 grand a year. I never knew that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Well, I think that punishment is actually proportional, because he is basically losing his life and living in prison for his whole life. And I can't see how that would be a desirable outcome for a 19-year-old kid.
Well, desirable, no, but proportional. I still don't think he's dead. But anyway, we're going around.
Josh, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Good job, man.
Hey, Josh, you got a 10. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll call again.
Yeah, good.
excellent. Yeah, there you go. Dan in Chatham. Dan, go ahead.
Good afternoon, or good morning, I could say. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
My first time calling also.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
That's great.
I'm opposed to the death penalty. I think, the eye for an eye mentality never serves any just cause. And I think too many of the facts are still loose. We have a tendency as a society to, emotionally rally around whatever we're fed and, beat the drum and race headlong into things without always having all the facts. I looked at a email today or posting today that shows a lot of the leaked photographs, and the backpack does not even match the packs that the boys had. And the backpack that exploded was a black backpack.
Dan, he said he did it. He said he did it. So what kind of evidence are you on?
Well, he said he did it, as far as we understand and we know from what he said. We're not present. A lot is contrived that we're not always aware of. So it's convenient, and he may be guilty, and he may be single, the two brothers may be single players in this, or there could be a lot more to the story that we still don't understand. We often find out years later that there was much more to the story than we understood.
I agree with that.
And then it's too late, we constantly find that they're through, bad lab reports, or someone with an agenda has condemned people to their life in prison, whether they be minorities or a misfortuned individual, to only later find out that their life has been committed to something that they were not accountable for. And what do? We say, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. It's part of the system. So. Yeah. When you come to the death penalty, that's a mistake that cannot be reversed. You can't let someone out after 30 years of false incarceration. I think we've become a prison society, and we are so quick to jump at charging someone. And as you stated, the emotional rally cry that comes out from these, because it's a natural reaction to want to emotionally react to this. And we're shocked and traumatized by the children's death and the wound, but it's, I have to say, we as a nation are inflicting this in countries around the far corners of the globe. We call it collateral damage, and it doesn't justify the sickness that occurred in Boston. My heart goes out to every member of the family and everyone that's wounded unnecessarily. But I see a lot of hypocrisy in the whole story, the unfortunate thing.
Dan, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. I appreciate it. And welcome to the program. It's nice to have you call up and be a part of the discussion. I appreciate it. Thank you. We would love to hear from you. 1-800-348-2551. We're going to take a break, get caught up on our underwriting, and then go into NPR Newscast. We'll return to the phone calls after this short break. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning. Welcome to The Roundtable. It is our roundtable panel, and we are taking your calls this morning. 1-800-348-2551. We'll take calls for about another 10 minutes or so, and then the conversation will be continued this afternoon during Vox Pop. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number for both of those programs. So if you don't get in now, you can get in later at 2 o'clock from 2 to 3, and Alan will be hosting that open forum. In the meantime, our lines are loaded. We'll get to as many calls as we can. We begin with Sabrina in New Paltz. Sabrina, good morning and welcome.
Yes, good morning. And I'd like to just start out by saying I'm a big supporter of your station. It really makes up for not having a good local jazz station, so.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. Well, you know, we riff.
Yeah.
That's true.
And yeah. Occasionally we tune up, which is not
true. Tune up.
No, not really.
And real quick, Sabrina, just so everybody knows, our panel this morning, Alan Shartok, Ray Graff, and Selma Kaplan, and your point is what?
My point is the only redemption we can have for all of the damage that was just done is that one day this young man might see the light and recognize the impact of what he was done and realize that his society had mercy on him. And I feel like if that is just the only redemption possible in this case. And the only analogy I can come up with has to do with pit bulls that have been trained to fight. A lot of people believe that you can't rehabilitate them. You just have to kill them, shoot them dead, and move on. And others believe that, yes, it is possible to rehabilitate them. And I guess we just have to make a decision as a society whether we have real faith in our prison system. If we don't have faith in our ability to rehabilitate people as a society, then there's something underlying all that, which is pretty sick, which we need to look at directly.
So then you're proposing then, assuming at some date in the future that he is now a changed man, then he should be set free, or they should think about that?
Well, should he be set free? I mean, as far as how long is prison term, I really don't know. Should he be in prison for life? Perhaps he should. But, I mean, the real question is, can this person be rehabilitated? Because I feel like that is the only redemption that we have.
But, of course, you're not going to be able to rehabilitate the 8-year-old.
No.
He's dead.
Well, and the other two, and the limbs and so forth. But, you know, the other point, of course, is that we have a system that is called a correction system, but we don't do much as far as it comes to the actual correction or the rehabilitation. And to me, that's one of the things that is lost, because if we did go in with that point of trying to improve on the damage person that has gone into that institution to release them into society. But that is not...
But the recidivism rate is really horrible.
Absolutely. If he goes into prison, he's not going to come back.
And maybe he shouldn't. You know, I mean, that's what one of our societal questions.
Maybe he shouldn't.
But I understand your point, which is, in the best case scenario, he realizes the gravity of what he's done and has come to the personal understanding of the damage that he has caused, and that he does that alive, not dead. Am I putting words in your mouth, or was that your point?
Yeah. I mean, it's not just about his own personal realization, but I mean, that is the only. I just feel like maybe I'm not getting my point across correctly, but it's the only. It's the only positive thing that could come from this.
Sabrina,
because killing is not a positive, and the only positive is that at some point in time he recognizes what he has done, whether he's in prison for the rest of his life or not.
Sabrina, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us. I appreciate it. We're going to go to John in New Paltz. John, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes. Good morning.
Hi,
John.
How you doing?
Fine. Go ahead.
What a bunch of tree hugging peaceniks. Pretty amazing, huh? Yeah. You know, my thing is this. I think that you can't. We have to stop retaliating with violence at some point. I mean, I don't see an end to anything when you fight fire with this kind of fire. It's just, it seems like, and especially when we have such a strong state, you know, the United States is so strong. I mean, it seems like, you know, anyone can throw a bomb underneath somebody's desk and do this, you know? So at some point we got to figure out, like, this kind of pervasive violence. It is risky. We live in a risky world. But in our reaction to it, I think that's where the solution is. And we have to react with some kind of love, some kind of compassion towards every single person who means ill to us.
So, John, you are a tree-hugging peacenik.
Yeah, what is that?
Welcome to the family.
Yeah.
Good point,
John. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Let's go to Judy in Valencia. Judy, good morning.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Yes, I have a slightly different point of view from what's been said. I am against the death penalty, but that has nothing to do in this particular case. I think, you know, there's always something to be learned if you don't kill a murderer.
Yeah.
There's something to be learned about his motives, his background, you know, something that is an educational thing for us as a country. And also, let's remember that it's a lot easier for somebody just to be executed than to have to live a very long and difficult an unpleasant life. And also, there's got to be some way of making somebody pay by giving back something to society. It's much easier to, in some respects, just to pay with your life. But here, perhaps, there is a way of making him give back.
Can I throw the ball back in your court for a second and say I agree with you. I'm wondering how we do that, though. How do we then say, as a society, how do we learn from him? What do we do, and what do we employ so that we can indeed learn from this situation?
It's a difficult question, Joe. You're good at these difficult questions.
I'm not good at answering them.
I'm now curious. You know, I was thinking the other day, God, if this guy dies in the hospital, it'll be really terrible in a way, because we won't find out anything about this. And
so
people always be wondering. You know, I have a feeling that that here's this kid that was somehow forced by his brother to do something, or perhaps somebody else, that he didn't even maybe know what he was doing. I'm not sure. But if he had died in hospital, we wouldn't find anything out.
So I got a question for you, Judy. Judy, I have a question.
Not to say, and perhaps someday we will learn something. And you're saying, how can we apply this? I can't say.
Okay, so all those people who were killed at Nuremberg for killing, you know, all of those Jews, and as well as Hitler. I mean, we could have learned a lot from Hitler, Judy. So would it have been appropriate, had he lived and not committed suicide, would it have been appropriate to hang him?
I have to say that there are always exceptions, and I think you have to take each case on its own. And yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you there, Alan, but in this case, there's just something about this that makes me think we need to find out more. I think that there are things this is a really other long discussion, so I'm not going to.
Okay, okay. But I have. I know one thing. You have wonderful children, and therefore they're my nephews and nieces. My question to you is, what if it was them that were killed?
I know what you're saying. Maybe I'd want to know. Maybe I'd want to get behind this murder and find out what it is, and then make him pay back to society. I don't know, build roads, dig ditches, work with kids, go out and plant food. I don't know.
So you'd let him out?
I mean,
you'd let him out?
First instinct would be, yeah, I'm going to get a shotgun from somewhere.
So you'd let him out?
Blow his head off.
Judy, you'd let him out?
Yeah. I'm not saying let him out. I'm not saying this kid shouldn't stay in prison the rest of his life, but I'm saying that in some ways he should somehow pay for these deeds. And somehow just executing somebody is the easiest thing to do for the person himself.
Judy. Well, it certainly could be a release as opposed to sitting in prison listening to that toilet flush.
Well, that's my feeling. I think there are many, many people who might wish for the death penalty, who might want to die, and very often do die in prison by their own hands because they can't take the life that you know has been given to them there. But this is fascinating, and I think we need to take like a longer time to talk about these issues.
Well, we'll be here at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, round table, forward promotion.
Yes, there you go.
Well, thank you, guys.
Judy, thank you very much.
This has been really, really interesting.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the telephone call. We've got some emails I want to read. This one from a listener who says, What would you feel if it were your child? Well, I'd like to kill the murderer with my own hands, and that's why we have laws, to keep my feelings from interfering with the laws of civilization. Without those laws, we have chaos, a jungle ruled only by individuals' emotions. We also have this from Laura that says, I have been listening to your discussion regarding death penalty or life in prison for the Boston murders. I researched penalties for murder according to the Quran, and I found the following. The Quran legislates the death penalty for murder, although forgiveness and compassion are strongly encouraged. The murder victim's family is given a choice to either insist on the death penalty or to pardon the perpetrator and accept monetary compensation for their loss. If the Boston perpetrator is found guilty and he claims he did it in the name of Islam, maybe the above should apply. And finally, we got this from Judy in Hanacroy, who says, the end of the phrase, an eye for an eye, goes till every man is blind. In an increasingly violent society, revenge can become bloodlust, and that's an undesirable public stance. We see that all over the world. So we love hearing from you, roundtable@wamc.org. And as Alan mentioned, we will be continuing this conversation and take all the phone calls and all the people that we are leaving on the line to give us a shout this afternoon at 2 o'clock on our open forum on Vox Pop, that at 2 o'clock. Meanwhile, we'll take a short break and continue with our panel on the roundtable. Selma Kaplan, Ray Graff, Alan Chartok, Joe Donahue. It's all coming up next. Welcome back to the Roundtable. It is our panel for the first hour, and Selma Kaplan, it's nice having you here.
Well, thank you very much.
You're here.
Yes.
I think I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah. Existential problem.
We're having an existential, you know. Am I really here?
We took a roll call earlier. She was here.
This is great.
Ray is here, and of course, Alan. And we want to talk, and again, a reminder, the conversation we just had on the death penalty will be continued on Vox Pop, 2 o'clock, open forum, and more on that coming up later on Vox Pop. I wanted to get to this story. The art to legally buy cigarettes in New York City would rise
the
to
age.
The age.
What it is an art to buy cigarettes.
You said
but
the art.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's okay.
You know.
You got to love Mayor Bloomberg.
No,
you know?
Got to love his trifocals.
He is incorruptible, and he could put through whatever he wants to put through and let the public decide.
Okay, city plan sets 21 as legal age to buy tobacco. You currently have to be 18. You would now have to be 21. It would be the strictest limit of any American city.
21. Well, by the time you're 21, you'd probably have a job that's better than the job that you had when you were 18, so you could actually afford to buy a pack of cigarettes.
Were you smoking at 21?
I was smoking at 15.
Okay.
And how much is a cigarette these days? Do we know?
Per cigarette?
No, how much is it?
Buy a Lucy around the corner?
That's illegal. How much is it to buy a pack of cigarettes?
I don't buy them.
But you know, don't you?
$10, $11.
What?
But much more in New York City. It's more than that in New York City.
Oh my God. And 20 cigarettes in a pack. So how old were you, Ray?
I was maybe 21.
When you started?
22. Yeah, but I made up for lost time.
But what do you so what does this do of making a legal age? And this is the argument that you always hear, which is at 18 you can go and fight and die for your country, but I can't have a cigarette.
But I can't buy a beer. Right.
Yeah. That's the argument.
That's the argument.
I think we have two expert panelists here. You know, you and I don't count. We don't smoke.
Look at the time.
You're addicted to Diet Pepsi. We know that.
Yeah.
So we'll do another show on that sometime, right? But
Diet, well, we already have. I mean, Mayor Bloomberger has already gone after my my vice. So
well, but now let's talk about this, and I think Ray and Selma should do all the talking. That's what I think.
Oh, is that what you think?
Yeah.
No.
Well,
clearly,
the libertarians among us would say, you know, nobody should put an age on when you could buy cigarettes. You know, anybody should be allowed to do whatever they want to do.
Except that's suicidal.
That is suicidal, but perhaps people can make that decision for themselves.
Now but it's also legal. And there's a difference between 21 and 18.
Nobody is going to make anybody else stop smoking by yelling at them, by badgering them, by...
Well, wait just a second. What about drinking? What's the drinking age in New York?
I believe 21. It's 21.
Well, so... Don't you see? Don't you get it? Don't you see? If we've done that with drinking, why don't we do it and drinking?
We also did it nationally.
Yeah.
And we
well,
did it,
time
and,
to
and
do
we
it.
Also and it also had to do it also had to do with availability of cars. It had to do with a college age. It had to do with a lot of different subjects that perhaps are not applicable to the discussion of cigarettes, but you know, when you have a kid who's in high school who starts smoking, obviously they're not getting them legally anyway. Right. Much like the kids who drink in college.
Well, some. In other words, your sample, speaking as a social scientist now, your sample of how many, you know.
Should we have a sounder when he speaks as a social scientist? The soft sciences.
Or we could do it like in the golf games. He is now speaking as a social scientist.
Here comes the sociologist stepping up to the microphone.
Yeah, what a stinger.
Bum, 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 bum. I like it.
Yeah.
That's it. We
anyway,
need the sound effects button.
Anyway, what soft science were we going to talk about?
I don't know. You made me forget what I was going to say.
All right, sir.
But
well done, Ray. Well done.
But when Ray, it was just that when Joe said, you know, they get cigarettes. I don't want to misquote them now. You know, even though they're illegal in high school, that's some, but not all. So every time you pass a law, that law will prohibit, will be effective in that it will take some people out of the mix.
Well,
and when
15,
you do that, you are saving a life, I tell you all.
Right, but if you're 15, 16, 17 and you're smoking, you've got no cigarettes illegally.
Yes, that's true. But
okay,
you're
that's
not,
what I'm saying.
But you are not the whole sample of 16, 17, and 18-year-olds.
Well, okay.
Well, no, you're but the whole sample of not, the smoking of the kids who are smoking. That was my
not that's right. Of those who are smoking, but not of all of those who might be able to get a hold of this stuff, but who don't because they know it's against the law.
Not Greg to Graff. Bolster Alan's argument, because you know that is never my intention. However, he may be onto something. this New York Times article that you referenced.
Yes.
Says it brings up a case study of city officials in England. A 2010 study showed that smoking among 16 to 17-year-olds dropped by 30% after the legal age for cigarettes was raised to 18 from 16 in 2007. So,
as much as it you, the bile is coming up in your neck.
No, I think that you are correct. So, in other words. Yes,
that's right.
Many
that's why
kids.
The bile's coming up in
many
your neck.
Kids get cigarettes illegally, but some don't. This will limit the number. The libertarian questions are vast, and of course we know Mayor Bloomberg's propensity for these sorts of things, and that's for another. Oh my gosh, we're out of time. But
actually, we're not.
Oh,
go ahead. Yeah.
I'll keep talking.
I'm out of time.
It's so good to hear you talk.
Okay. All right. So direct question. So this legislation comes across your desk.
Yeah.
Yay or nay?
I honestly don't know.
Absolutely.
I'll sign it.
You would sign it?
Yeah, I'll sign it. 21, that's fine.
Selma?
I'm all for people not smoking if
curbing,
they can not
curbing
smoke.
Smoking. Yeah. Right.
I'm all for not people not starting to smoke if that's a possibility.
And whatever you can do to help that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and education and, raising the cost of the cigarettes. That's
well, I think
all
that's
done
ridiculous.
A lot, too.
You do not tax things because you want people to not do things that are illegal. That's a different argument, and that makes me irritated, to say the least.
Oh, we hate it when you're irritated.
Oh, let's just make the tax $700 on a pack of cigarettes,
well,
okay?
Yes, it's okay with me because
well, that's
because
you can afford them.
Well, not only that. That's true, but I don't have.
We have the luxury car tax. You know.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that.
Well, you know, this is maybe the difference between what we call, and I'm not. But between ex-smokers and smokers in your referral.
Well, no, I'm agreeing with you. I'd be fine with them changing the 21 statewide. Yeah.
Okay. And taxing, you're not.
Taxing is a different issue, and it's a ridiculous issue.
But it's an issue that
hurts.
And
it's a hypocritical issue by government who says they want people to stop, but no, they want the money.
They want
the money.
Who's
kidding who?
That's true. It's both.
All right. You and I are going to take this outside in a moment. I'm going to have a smoke, and we'll talk about it.
All I have to say is that when I was in high school, I don't know.
Aren't
your
you
high
glad
school may
you
be very. I never saw it. But we had a smoking area. Those kids would go out
here
and they
at
would.
WMC. We
no,
have
no,
a,
no, no. I'm talking about in the high school. There was a room.
Oh, yeah.
You would go
room.
In and you it was a smoker's lounge for the students. We have come a long way.
Yep.
It's amazing.
I took chalk, and there's one box out by the street. And
yeah.
I put the chalk around there and said, this is where you smoke.
I know, and now it's a bus stop.
Lil Bloomberg Jr. over here. Yeah, well done.
We would love to hear from you. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Not only that, we'll talk more about the death penalty and the Boston bombing suspect at 2 o'clock this afternoon on Vox Pop. Selma Kaplan, thank you very much for filling in at the last minute. We appreciate it. Hope you will come back.
You were a great star today, Selma.
My pleasure.
You were wonderful.
Ray Graff, always nice to leave you in an irritated mood.
Whatever.
And also very rare. And
Uncle Grumpy.
Alan, thank you very much. You're as welcome. Well, you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.